If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Mark this morning. Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter number 8. It seems like that we at times just look in our Bibles and begin to read and begin to ask the Lord what He wants for the service, and the Lord just comes through right on time, I think, with timely thoughts and timely messages. And what I'm going to share with you today, it's my prayer, will be timely, as timely in your heart as it has been in mine. We'll begin reading in verse number 10. The Bible said, "And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples, and he came to the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him." Listen to verse 12. This is where the Lord spoke to my heart. "And he sighed deeply in his spirit." And he sighed deeply in his spirit. We're talking about the Son of God here. I don't believe that Jesus, I've been wrestling, and if you've been paying attention, I mean, just for months, I don't believe Jesus was depressed, Brother Steve, but I believe he sighed deeply in his spirit, just like the Bible said that he did. Before I go any further in the message today, has there been any sighing going on in your life lately? Do you see anything in the world, anything in the church world, anything in the nation that causes you to sigh deeply in your spirit? The Word of God said, "He sighed deeply in his spirit, and he saith, Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall be no sign given unto this generation." And the Word of God said, "And he left them, and entering into the ship again, he departed to the other side." I guess we titled the message today, it would be some reasons that Jesus sighed deeply in his spirit. I hope you'll pray for us. Father, thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God this morning. Lord, I thank you for the Word of God. It is so rich. It is so real. It has already been said, Lord, it's so timely. Father, I pray that you will speak to our hearts this morning and help us to be a help. God, the people that are before me this morning are precious, not just to pastor, but especially to you. And God, you hear their sighs. You know our hearts. And God, as I've studied for this message, I've kind of been a little bit ashamed of myself. Lord, looking what we're facing in comparison with what you were facing as you ministered to people in that walk of 3.5 years on the way to Calvary. I pray, dear Father, today that you would help us, and God, that we would hear you. You would speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. The Bible said he sighed deeply in his spirit. There's a couple of things that I just want to talk about the beginning, and that one would be, I think it's okay for a mother or a father or a mamma or a papa or a pastor or a Sunday school teacher, if Jesus sighed deeply in his spirit, there were things that just caused him to, I think it's okay if we do that every once in a while. In other words, it's not all mountaintop. It's not all good. We're going to be faced with some things in life. Jesus is faced with some things right here. And we're going to talk about a lot more of that in the message. That's going to cause us to sigh deeply in our spirit. The second thing I want to think about is this. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Brother Wayne, how many times has this pastor caused Jesus to sigh deeply in his spirit? How many times have we failed to believe him, to trust him, as we sang about a while ago, Brother Ralph? How many times have we disobeyed him? I wonder how many times Jesus has looked. You see, I think it applies to all of us, but I'm just giving it with how the Lord's working in my heart. How many times has he said, preacher? And he sighed deeply in his spirit. I believe with all of my heart that there's some things taught in the Word of God that we need to think about. You remember, turn with me if you will in Mark chapter 3, just a moment. I want to show you just a little bit about what Jesus is facing. In Mark chapter 3, in verse number 22, the Word of God said, and the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. This is what Jesus is dealing with the scribes and the Pharisees. You say, Pastor, I don't understand why they would ask for a sign. I mean, he's taken just a few loaves and just a few fishes, and he's feeding 5,000, he's feeding 4,000, he's healing the blind, he's healing the lame, he's healing. I mean, what kind of sign could you want? It's almost as if they're saying, this is the little stuff, and the devil can do the little stuff. We want to see some big stuff. No wonder he sighed deeply in his spirit. Look at it. It said in verse 23, and he called unto them, and he said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, it cannot stand. I want you to get a little taste, just a little taste of what Jesus is facing when the Word of God said he sighed deeply in his spirit. All of this knowing, listen to me, the very ones that are accusing him, the very ones that are asking for a sign, and of course we'll read in another text, he said, there are no sign given you but the sign of Jonas. That the Son of Man is going to be 3 days, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so the Son of God shall be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. But Jesus, not only facing the accusations, not only facing the unbelief, not only ministering to his disciples, but all the while he knows he's headed to the cross. As we said last Sunday night, there in that garden, no doubt Jesus, in that great agony, was sighing again deeply in his spirit. I think if we're not careful, for example, I've had people say to me, you should never ask why. I don't think that's scriptural. The Son of God hung on the cross and cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you not know that he knows that we're flesh and bone and weak and frail? So I think what God is saying to us today, listen, where we're at, let me just say where we're at. We're in a mess. Our country's in a mess. Our world's in a mess. And our churches are in a mess. I think God is saying, it's okay. If you sigh deeply. I thought about, I don't know how this is going to go. I've got it, as God give it to me, but it just don't seem to be going that way right now. But I thought about the pastor in Chicago, Brother Don. I don't know if anybody's kept up with it a little bit. I'm seeing it here and there. But he's up on the roof. His heart is broken. They're killing one another. And there's a pastor that's staying outside in the cold. Got him a tent up on the roof. It reminds me of Jesus standing and looking over the city of Jerusalem and weeping over the city. I believe that pastor, listen to me, I've listened to some of the things he said. I believe he genuinely cares about his city. He genuinely cares about his people. Let me just go ahead and say it. It'll get me in a heap of trouble. But if Black Lives Matter cared about black lives, they care too. About what's going on. The babies are being killed. And I'm not talking about abortion there. I'm talking about bullets. I believe that pastor has spent some days and spent some nights, Brother Steve, sighing deeply in his spirit. And I believe it's okay. I don't believe God looks down and says your heart's broke and you're sighing deeply in your spirit. What's the matter with you? I believe God looks down and says there's somebody that cares. There's somebody that has compassion. There's somebody, beloved, paying attention. There's somebody that knows. They can't help, but they know the one who can. His name is Jesus. Turn to Matthew chapter 12, please. I'm still just trying to introduce the message. Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 38. I don't have these places marked in my Bible, so I'll have to turn with you. Sometimes I print out the scripture. I was so overwhelmed as God was speaking to my heart. I just made a few notes about the passages. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 38. Listen to what the Word of God said. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and an adulterous generation. Can I tell you, we're living in an evil and an adulterous generation. We're living in a generation, beloved. Listen, oh, I praise God for our young people that's trying to do the right thing and trying to save themselves for marriage and getting married when it's time to get married and not shacking up like the world's shacking up. Amen. Thank God for them. So many people think nothing about adultery anymore. The Word of God said here, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall be no sign given it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Listen to verse 41. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Jesus said, behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost of the earth, parts of the earth, to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And Jesus said, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. You see, he's speaking to these people. The Pharisees, the Sadducees that
knew the Old Testament. They knew the Word of God. So when he said to them, listen, there's somebody greater than Solomon here. There's somebody greater than Jonah here. They knew exactly what he was saying. Jesus, he sighed deeply in his spirit. Give you some things to think about. Turn to Luke, please, just a moment. Luke chapter number 16. Everybody knows this story, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Not going to read the whole story. I believe that cold air Thursday's taken over, Brother Steve. Pray for me, amen. We breathed a lot of cold air Thursday, didn't we? A lot of other men too. Verse number 30 of chapter number 16. Let me read, starting verse 39. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Let me tell you what's being said in this text. Beloved, ain't no sign going to get it done if you won't believe the scripture. Notice what he said in verse 30. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. We're not supposed to be seeking after a sign. We're supposed to be looking for the Savior. We don't need a sign because we have the Scripture. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, for we must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's not just talking about saving faith, but thank God, serving faith. He wants us to serve Him by faith. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I just counted them. There's 5 things I want to give you this morning. The first thing I want you to see that caused Jesus to sigh deeply in his spirit is the deception. Can I say this to you? We're going to look at it in the scripture. But America's being deceived. Thank you, Brother Grizzle. That means a lot to me. We're being deceived. We're swallowing a lie. Hook, line, and sinker. Notice what the Word of God said with me, please. Turn to John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5. In John chapter number 5, I want to begin reading in verse number 39. John chapter 5 and verse number 39. The Word of God said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Beloved, these Pharisees, they sewed the Word of God up in their phylacteries, up in their garments. They were so full of pride how they knew the Word of God. Can I tell you this? It is completely possible to know the Word of God and miss the God of the Word. You say, Pastor, how could a man, if he was going to examine himself, how could he know the difference? I tell you, there's just several ways. When a person comes to know the God of the Word, it changes his life. It causes him to not want to sit in judgment on others. It causes him not to want to look in the mirror and say how good I am. But it causes him to want to look at the Savior and say how good He is. You see, a good Savior, a great Savior, saved a bad sinner. You say, well, preacher, that was years ago. Well, Brother Sam, I ain't got over it. That a good Savior saved an old bad sinner. That's why I don't mind singing, who saved a wretch like me. The modern generation wants to change the words to such a one as I. Well, let's just say such a hell-bound sinner as I. Help us, Lord. We're trying to bring you down to this level. You ain't coming down. You've already come down once. The next time you come, you're not coming as a babe. Lord, you're coming as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. The Word of God said here, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you. I'm going to tell you something else. God knows you, and God knows me. He looked at him, he said, I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. It's impossible to be saved by the grace of God and not have the love of God in you. Because God is love. So when the Spirit of God comes in, Jesus comes in, love comes in, peace comes in, joy comes in, gentleness, long-suffering, meekness, faith. The deception. They were deceived. In Luke chapter 6, the Bible said in verse 39, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? I'll tell you something, beloved. Listen, we're living in a day where the blind are leading the blind. When there are men standing in places like this, it don't matter if their collar's on the front way or the back way, and they're telling people that if they'll just join this organization or give to this organization or be dipped in this water hole or that water hole or have this sprinkled on you or that sprinkled on you, I'm telling you, beloved, they're deceiving people. And Jesus is sighing in His Spirit, not only because the Pharisees are deceived, but they're deceiving others. The blind leading the blind. Shall they not both fall in to the ditch? Turn to John chapter 6. Jesus is sighing in His Spirit, not only because of the deception, but in John chapter number 6, He's sighing in His Spirit because of their direction. In verse number 60 of John chapter number 6, the Word of God said this, many therefore of His disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. What did they hear? This is where Jesus said, except you eat of My flesh and drink of My blood. When they heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are life. There are some of you that believe not. You see, they were all in the same crowd. They were all following the same Christ. But He said, there's some of you that believe not. Watch this. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. And He said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto Me except that were given him of My Father. From that time, look what the Word of God said. You wonder why Jesus is sighing in His Spirit? The Word of God said, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. You tell me that a pastor can be a pastor and love his people and not be concerned about those that are going back and walking with him no more. I realize that everybody that's absent won't be absent forever. But I do realize this. Beloved, some have taken this as an escape route, an exit ramp. And it's sad. When we ought to be drawing nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. The Word of God tells us here, Jesus said to the 12, Brother Steve, these that were the closest to him, he looked at the 12 and said, will ye also go away? I love Peter's answer. Where are we going to go? Hallelujah. How many can say that with me? Where are we going to go? Lord, you're the one that's got the words of eternal life. Brother Don, where are we going to go? I ain't looking for nowhere else to go. I started in this way, and thank God I want to finish in this way. In the book of Acts, those that were following Jesus and preaching Jesus, the Bible said, these are those that are of that way. Glory to God for that way. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I'd rather seek out the old path and walk in it. That's where I want him to find me. I don't want to find him to find me dancing in the house of God, amen, to a bunch of rock and roll garbage. I want him to find me worshiping him in spirit and in truth. The direction, the deception. Look at chapter 7 in the book of Mark, just across the page. If your Bible's like mine, the dissimulation. That's a big fancy word for the hypocrisy. They were hypocrites. The Bible said in chapter number 7, they came together unto him, the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem, when he saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. That's what Pharisees are good at, finding fault. I'll tell you something right now. I'll spare the rest of the flock. If you want to find fault, just look right here. I got plenty of them. That's all you're looking for. Listen, even Herod said when he looked at Jesus, I find no fault in him. If we're looking to find fault in one another, we're not looking in the right place. If we're not careful, we'll act like this bunch. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash with their hands off, they eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels, tables. Then the Pharisees and the scribes ask, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but they eat bread with unwashing hands? And he answered and said unto them, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites. Oh, you say, Pastor, I wouldn't say that. I didn't. Jesus did. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I just say, listen. You could go into Matthew chapter number 23. Read Matthew chapter 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Over and over, Jesus says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, in reality, what we're facing in this generation is nothing compared to what Jesus was facing when he sighed deeply in his spirit. There they are, the hypocrites. Matthew 21, look at it quickly with me, please. Matthew chapter 21. Begin reading in verse number 23. when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the temple came unto him, and he was teaching. And he said, by what authority doeth these things? And who gave thee this authority? You remember, the word of God said in one place that they were amazed because he spake unto them as one having authority, not as the scribes and the Pharisees. The word of God said, by what authority? Who gave you this authority? And Jesus said unto them, I'll ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men? They reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he'll say unto us, why did you not then believe him? But if we shall say of man, watch this, we fear the people. For all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Beloved, listen, his ministry is being questioned. His authority is being questioned. They fear man. You know what the Bible said about the fear of man? It bringeth a snare. Years ago, I had a man who lived just beside the church. The man that lived in front of the church didn't know the Lord. The man that lived beside the church didn't know the Lord. He walked over. I was working in the churchyard. I believe I was working in flower gardens that day. And he said, Rick, I don't know how you're doing it. And I said, doing what? His name was Wendell. I said, doing what, Wendell? He said, I don't know how you're pleasing them all. I want to call your attention to something. I can't remember, Miss Eve. I believe they had 9 pastors in 18 years. I believe that's right. They had 9 different preachers in 18 years. Brother Rose, you're familiar with the church. That's what was wrong with the church. Brother Rose went there. Amen. No, I'm just kidding you, Brother Rose. Amen. Now, that was before my day. Brother Rose was there. And I looked at him and I said, Wendell, I'm not trying to please them all. He said, you're not? Things were going well at that time. We had actually had to open the side wing up so people could sit there and people could sit over there. There wouldn't hold them, so we had to open up the side. My dad come up and helped me do the carpenter work, and we opened up a big arch on the side wing so you could sit over there and still see the preacher and the singing and the choir and all that. I said, Wendell, let me tell you something. I said, I told him when I came here, I aim to please God. And if you like it, I'm glad for you. And if you don't, I'm sad for you. But my aim is to please God. A preacher that acts like a politician ought to be shot. That checks the wind to see who likes what. I said he ought to be shot. We're called to stand and preach this book just like it is. And let the chips fall where they may. Even in our own lives when we read it. That's why I said to you a while ago, listen, I don't say this boastfully, but not too many men, beloved, listen, would look at that verse of Scripture and wonder, how many times have I caused the Son of God to sigh deeply in His Spirit? Because it's true. We see the hypocrisy. Matthew chapter 12, if you'll turn there with me quickly. Matthew chapter 12 at 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. There was something else that's causing Jesus to sigh deeply in his spirit. It's the division. Notice what the Word of God said. He brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind, dumb, healed him. Verse 22. Inasmuch as the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But When the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." And Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation." Listen to me. If you can read that and not think about our country, good for you. I cannot read that and not think about America. I used to think, beloved, I wonder if it'll be Russia. I wonder if it'll be Japan. I wonder if it'll be China. I tell you what we're doing. We're eating ourselves like a cancer from within. I don't believe they're going to have to fire shot. Because Jesus said, a house that's divided against itself cannot stand. We're divided spiritually. And we're divided, Brother Steve, morally. It used to matter when a man run for public office. It used to matter. It used to matter whether he stood for or against liquor. It used to matter whether he stood for or against drugs. It used to matter if he was a family man. Amen. It used to be a womanizer didn't have a chance of getting elected in this country. Amen. It used to matter whether he stood for or against abortion. It used to matter whether he stood for or against sodomy. And all those issues just seemed to fade away. I got a book in front of me. They've not faded. We're still divided. Let me tell you something, beloved. Listen to me. If you love Jesus, you love this book. If you love Jesus, you love truth. And if you love Jesus, even if it hurts your family to believe the truth, you believe the truth anyway. The Word of God said here, it's brought to destruction in every city. A house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God, that's our hope, youngins, in this generation, is that the kingdom of God and His Christ will come. John, he saw the glorified Christ. He saw the seven churches. He saw the tribulation, the great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. He saw the marriage of the Lamb. He saw the great white throne judgment. He saw that holy city coming down from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. You get to the end of the book and John said, let me tell you the best thing that happened. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The division. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin, he said, and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. What were they doing? Listen to me carefully. I'll tell you what they were doing. They were giving Satan credit for what God was doing. That's a dangerous proposition. Jesus said, that's one thing, it's not going to be forgiven. Not going to be forgiven. Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Jesus sighed deeply in his spirit. He sees the deception. He sees the direction as folks are going away. He sees the hypocrisy, the dissimulation. He sees the division. Luke 19, and I'm finished. Luke chapter 19, verse number 41. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 41. I know that we're not finished with this mess yet, and we may never get finished with it. But Sister Carol, when I find myself just troubled so deeply, I'll never look at it the same way. After seeing how Jesus sighed deeply in his spirit. where we're going, Luke 19, right? Luke chapter 19. You say, Pastor, what was the last thing you think that Jesus saw that caused him to sigh deeply in his spirit? Luke 19, let's begin reading in verse 41. And it was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it. I have marveled at the view. I think they call it Eden's view up on the mountain, and as you're going across towards the cemetery. What's the name of that one? East Lawn Cemetery. But you can go up there and you can look over Bloomingdale. And especially at night, it's just gorgeous. And I can't go through there without thinking about this text. Jesus, when he beheld the city, he wept over it. He said, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they're hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Jesus is sighing deeply in his spirit. He's troubled by the deception. He's troubled by the direction. He's troubled by the hypocrisy, the dissimulation. He's troubled by the division. But Jesus sees the destruction that's on the horizon for the very people that he's ministering to. No wonder the Apostle Paul, he said, I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul had a great burden. You know what I believe? I believe Paul believed the Word of God that destruction was coming in. I'll tell you something. If you cannot see, Sister Linda, our journey's about run with these babies. Our grandbabies. And it won't be long in their babies. Think about where this world is headed. I'm going to tell you what my daddy would have done. If he had heard me say something like pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. It would have been something frying like bacon, but it wouldn't have been a pig. It would have been the two hams that I wear. I got around my first cousins when I come to Virginia. I didn't know nothing. I didn't know the bad name that they called black people. I didn't know that police officer wasn't a police officer. I didn't even know he was a cop, let alone a pig. And I made the mistake one day. I said, Dad, there goes one of them pigs. Oh, boy. Dad knew what that term meant. And Dad didn't care where I picked it up. Dad was just determined I was going to lay it down. Never called a police officer a pig after that, Brother Larry. Daddy had a way. He had a persuasion. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? God's people better be praying that this country wakes up. I do believe there's hope. When I saw the March for Life in Washington, most of those people are young people. I believe, Brother Steve, they're realizing they've swallowed a lie. They've been deceived. Amen. I believe there's hope. I believe there's some people in this country that believe you ought to work. I believe there's some people in this country, beloved, listen, that believe that one of the functions of government's to keep us safe. And they're failing terribly. May God help us to pray for those in authority. You don't have to worry about the safety of others if you've got a security guard surrounding you. You say, Pastor, Jesus is sighing deeply in His spirit. Brother Preston, wouldn't you love for your kids to grow up in a free America? Wouldn't you love for them to be able to be happy, just work and be proud of their family, raise their family for the Lord? Amen. You say, Pastor, surely you don't believe these things are at stake. If you don't believe that, better get your head out of the sand. Amen. Jesus is coming, but God only knows what we're going to go through before He comes. Jesus is weeping. He saw the deceit in their hearts in this text. He saw the destruction in their homes. And He saw their destiny in hell. And that ought to break our hearts as well. Amen. I'm just glad you come this morning. If you had an opportunity, would you gather around an altar with me and pray for America? Would you pray for the lost that you know that are lost? Would you ask the Lord to help these churches, Brother Steve talked about? Brother Steve, we're blessed. Even though at times we sigh deeply in our spirit, we're still blessed. Some are going to shut the doors and never open them again. God help us to be thankful. God help us to be prayerful. God help us to be faithful, even in these days. Once in a while we may sigh deeply in our spirit, and maybe often, but we need to understand there's somebody that come down the road long before us. The perfect man, the God man, he sighed deeply in his spirit. Father, we love you this morning and thank you for loving us. And God, I pray as we come around this altar this morning and pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd hear our prayers. God, I pray that Amelia and Ava, Sawyer, Livia, my grandsons, granddaughters, all of them, God, would get to enjoy the freedom that we have. I pray, God, that you would help us in our country to return to law and order. I pray, God, that you would help us to understand the need for sovereignty as a nation, the need for borders, the need, our God, for a spiritual awakening, the need for morality. Lord, the freedoms we enjoy do not work without a measure of morality. The fear of God. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name.